Hi, I am Coach Emilio. Welcome to the Escuela del Sur. If you are a sports coach, do you want to find more freedom in your decisions and opportunities and find solutions in the day-to-day work of your profession? This podcast is for you. I will tell you from my experience as a coach in Dubai and interviews with coaches around the world, the habits, techniques, valuable background, and tools that can guide you and give you more results with less effort. I invite you to give your coaching career more possibilities and confidence in the competitive world of sport. Listen to our episode to get ideas to optimize your professional profile with continuous improvement, so you can get more results, improving your quality of life along with your profession and your passion. We start.
What was your favorite apparatus?
There were, you know, periods in life when I preferred something better than others for some reason. Like in the beginning, in my first years of gymnastics, I would love beam for some reason. And then at the end of my years of gymnastics, I would love floor a lot more.
But they are connected a little bit with choreography.
Yeah, I think at the end of my gymnastics years, I love floor more. Once, because as a gymnast, get to mature by that age, like I was already 16, right? And you start developing your own personality. Yeah, so it's not expected of a young gymnast to have a personality. They can practice it and train it, but they will develop it with age. Yeah, so at 15, 16, I started to show my own personality on floor, and I love to do it. You know, like I couldn't wait a chance to just, you know, perform and have the audience.
Your routine.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, along with a fall, if I fall. So, all of it. Yeah. I enjoyed vault because I could do it. I would say the least I would prefer bars. I've always felt like bars was the hardest for me. I wasn't necessarily the strongest gymnast. And in bars, you need like endurance and strength and technique and all of it together at the same time. And I wasn't the strongest gymnast. That's it. You know.
And also, we can mention in the podcast, you are in the club of points because you have one skill is in with your name.
Yeah. You know, many would debate it because there were a few, I don't know who they are, but I know now from what I've seen online.
Research.
Some other gymnasts may have done it before me, but you only get to have the name of a skill if you actually present it in a high-level competition, which is like a World Championship and Olympics, and you manage to successfully compete it, you know. So I guess that's the difference.
What was the skill?
It's a 900-degree turn front layout, or like a front layout with 900-degree turn on floor.
So when you run on floor, you are...
I was doing a front handspring before it to give me more height. I think one of my advantage as a gymnast, as I said, I'm not a strong gymnast, but I think I was good in twisting. So let's say other gymnasts would do as a skill double back layout on floor, and I wasn't strong enough to do it, but I was fast enough to do twisting. Okay, so that was my advantage. The front twisting, I only started learning it actually when I was already in the national team and just in the later years. So,
was this story about when you arrived in the national team and they told you need to do three twists? You remember you told me about it. You cannot do it less, and you land in like
This is for like for the back twisting. You know, at high level, you training, you don't have time to train all the basic skills, okay? So when I say basics, I would say a full twist and a double twist is already like a basic, yeah, on floor. You would train from triple twist upwards, yeah? So you do warm up, like one twist, two twists, and then you go, so you do like, let me say this again. So you would do like, what do you do on floor? Warm up. You do a round of back and spring backpack or like a layout, a full twist, and then you go and do your skills, whatever other skills you have on floor. So I would skip a double twist. I would go and do straight to a triple twist. Or like a 900 degree turn, 2.5, connected to something. So the more I skip it, when I actually had to go back and I've been asked, okay, now just practice the double twist on floor, I was so scared to do it because I didn't know when to open anymore. I would only train
for triple.
Yeah, I would only train the full twist for warm up and the triple twist, and my triple twist would come out of the whip salto, you know. So if you skip a step and you only practice this like for a long time, it's not like you forget it completely, it's just like you haven't trained it, yeah, so there's an automatism that comes with it, you know, you are used to twist and I don't know, our brain does something at one point and it's just like, oh no, it's not this, you used to do three, so let's go to three, not two, you know. So it was difficult to adapt, or like I would do full twist on wall and then I've been asked to do only half. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit, you know, challenging to downgrade a skill. Or like if I did two twists and then I've been asked to do 1.5, you know, for each skill that you're trying to learn, if it's a complex skill, you'll try to break it apart and practice it separately, right? Like first part, second part, third part, I don't know how many parts it has, and then you bring them together and you perform it globally and train. All right. So in order for our brains to memorize what has to be done, you have to repeat it at least 400 times, okay? And 400 times only to learn the skill or whatever is that we're trying to learn, and after that of course is the repetition to correct. This principle applies to our mental performance as well. I'm studying a lot about habits lately. I am passionate about personal development and I'm studying this, you know, how we can change our life, okay? And then you discover that, well, you change your life by, you know, deciding your values, your beliefs. Then, based on your values and beliefs, you decide your habits, you know, okay, what you keep, what you take out. So, same as in practicing our habits. Yeah, some of them we already practice so much that it's so unconscious, we don't even know them. They are there. And if we want to build habits or if we want to build skills, then we have to do it consciously. Yeah. So we will put effort into practicing. Let's say, and from the books, I'm saying that in order for us to learn something new, we would have to repeat it around 400 times when it comes, especially with sports, to build these neural pathways. Yeah, to build this like lines for which the brain is choosing to go. So once the learning is complete, it's not over because the brain just recognizes it as, okay, like I've learned something new, but you want to master it, right? So you have to repeat it like, I don't know how many times after that. Sure. In gymnastics and skills, in anything. You have a goal, you decided for this skill, you start learning and practicing. If something goes wrong, you have to adjust the plan. Okay, correct here, do this, add that, subtract this, whatever it is, you know, and then you have to read it again. And the more complex the skill, the more parts it has to consider and to correct, and the more repetition.
What about this? You mentioned to me what you say. Okay, you need to practice so many times for develop the skill. Very difficult. But if not fit to you, you say some movements, some elements, not fit for some gymnasts. Mm-hmm. You need to decide what is better for the gymnast or your coach.
From my experience as a coach, especially here in, not just here in Dubai. Dubai is a different program that we're following, in Romania, a different program. But from my own experience as a gymnast and what my coach has taught me, and now me being a coach, understand you have to give the opportunity to children, you have to give opportunity to children to have a wide base of skills, basic skills. Okay, because in time, as I said for myself, I was not a strong gymnast, but I was very good in twisting. So in time, you'll get to discover which gymnast is more it's more prone to doing this strength skills, or which gymnasts are more prone to do these dance skills. Like Burkina was a very gracious and very good gymnast.
If you check, Burkina was an exceptional gymnast, because everyone saw in Russia and Soviet Union this time, she was not good for two beam and bars because she was so tall, and she used all this powerful to say, I will do it, I will show you what I'm doing. She was one of the top one generation of gymnasts.
This is what I mean. Her advantage was that she's very graceful and she was very good with dance skills. And tall gymnasts are known to be very good in bars as well. Of course, she needed to be strong, but there's a limit to all of us. Some of us are limited in graciousness and some of us are limited in strength. Yeah, but I guess her coaches chose for her what worked for her as a gymnast. And she had also a lot of twisting. And her dismounted beam was this kick twist off beam. On floor, she had turns and twists again, you know?
Yeah, and also the cashier we had bars.
Bars was like, she was
unbelievable. You saw her compete when you was a junior?
We did compete in the same competitions at least twice in my career. So, we've seen each other limited because we were focused on
competition. You are in your
what we were doing, of course. And I was still like a young gymnast compared to, you know, like
she was a superstar.
She had already experienced.
Sabina, tell me about Inside Out. What is Inside Out?
Well, Inside Out stands for change happens from the inside out, you know. I had a moment I had many moments in my life when I felt like I need change, and I realized that change happens inside of me. You know, when sometimes we're so focused that we want to change our environment that we miss the fact that sometimes it's us who needs to change. So I think these two words have reduced themselves to two words after a journey of self-exploration and many books and materials that I read and things that I've heard. So I've heard something one day, something about how we so much focus on changing the outward appearance, right? Like only if we dress like this, and only if we do this, and only if we appear like this, or we behave. As you said, but see, behavior has two parts, right? The action that comes outside of you, but the we build our behavior based on our belief system and values and
habits
and stuff like this, right? So if you're trying to control the outside behavior, the action, you're going to get tired, right? So you put a lot of effort in your life, constantly thinking about it. And let's say you manage to behave in a certain way as you like it for a few times, and then you do it wrong. And then, you know, it's like a dance, but it's a lot of effort and very much control. And then I've heard, well, when we focus on changing our inner world, the outside action is a reflection of it, right? You know, you're not going to focus as much in treating the symptoms, right? You're now going to treat the cause. Like, it's a cliche, right? We've heard this a lot, but it's true, right? If there's like any situation, like in, let's say you want to treat an illness, right? You go to the doctor. And yes, sometimes you have some medication for the symptoms, right? But let's treat the cause, because that will stop the effects that you don't want anymore, right? So I guess that's how this change happens from the inside out, started to form in my mind. And then I just reduced it to inside out as a short name for it. Initially, everything that I read and studied, and
you traveled to US.
This is recently, but my journey with learning about personal development, I didn't even know it was called personal development when I started reading these books of self-help. That's how they're called. I've done them for myself in the beginning, you know, I just felt like I needed to know myself as everybody else is, to know yourself, you know. And it's been gradual since maybe I was 20 years old, you know. Now that I feel like I gather so much information, and sometimes I speak with people, I can't help but, you know, offer the knowledge that I gathered all these years for myself, and you know what helped me and what worked for me. And I love to help and support other people who are willing to grow and develop and learn, and you know, just every day becoming a better version of themselves. You know, I slowly start to develop this. You know, since we were in quarantine for how many months, you know, the whole world was having a break. I finally found the time and the courage to start thinking seriously about creating something, you know, to offer to other people. So I've done these online mastermind classes with a few groups of people.
You gave me a book of John Maxwell, yeah.
Yes.
Maxwell.
Yeah. John Maxwell is the main source of my reading.
The stone.
Yes. So I've done these masterminds, and when I started to get the feedback from people that the sessions were very like helpful, and they bring clarity, or like in any way that if someone felt that they were like a bit helped and clarified in their sessions, I really felt happy. You know, I really felt that I want to do this more. And that's how I discovered that.
Your purpose.
Yes, I enjoy doing it, and I light up from inside out also, you know. So I think I just want to do it more for whoever it feels like they need the support.
Perfect. Sabina, for close the interview, what advice you can give, because you are also, you was a gymnast and you are a coach now, and also coaching life. What advice you can give to the new generation of coaches? What they need to look in, be care of, or take attention about? If you can give from your experience.
You know, as coaches, whether we like it or not, we are in the spotlight. Studies show that after parents, the coach or the teacher in school are the other person they actually look up to, because they spend a lot of time and they coaches have like a position of authority and
archetype. Yeah.
So many times as coaches, maybe we're not aware that we have an impact over the, you know, people who we teach, and most of the times our children, right? So realizing this, for me, knowing this thought, I want to be there for them. I want to come up as an example and as a role model. And whenever I have opportunities and trainings to teach more than just sport, to teach life, you know, I'm really looking forward for this moment. Because 100% in the process of teaching sports, you'll have to deal with teaching a mindset, like how to overcome fear, how to, you know, fear of falling, how to overcome pain, how to overcome a mental blockage, like any, you know, like any
mistake you have when you was a gymnast.
Mistakes, perfectionism, all kinds, like, you know. So I do enjoy these moments, and I am encouraging the other coaches as well to look for this teachable moments, because gymnastics or sports is just a moment for the children, but after that they will have to deal with life, which, you know, if they manage to transfer some value during these classes, they will take on during their whole life.
Wow, it's incredible when you say gymnastics is just a moment. What happened with the gymnasts when they finish gymnastics? And now the question I want to ask you is, what advice you can give to this young Sabina or any gymnast in the world listening to you now, and they train so hard? What you can give a wisdom for them, for a hope or a better life, like in gymnastics?
You know, I currently have a client which I teach, and I see a lot of young Sabina in her. And my advice to her is, she's a performer, okay? So she loves gymnastics so much to the point she hates it. Moments when it's not perfect, you know? So it's very good to be competitive, but it's recommended if you can keep an optimistic point of view. You know, like, perfectionism is very subjective. Of course, we're trying to do gymnastics based on a model that is given. Yeah, it's given to us by a book. Okay, it has to be like this, because otherwise you get deducted. So we keep aspiring for perfectionism, and it's almost like running after a carrot, which you'll never get. But and it's okay. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying that while you do it, just keep this optimism and a hopeful attitude. And yeah, I think it will make the journey a bit easier and more pleasurable, you know.
Let's hope you enjoy your life in the gym with your coach and with your teammates.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, you have duties, you have things to do, but also you spent so many times there, you want to have good memories. And maybe this is a responsibility for coaches and program managers and people manage gyms around the world, how you make the people enjoy the sport. Because it's the high performance is not easy. Everyone know that it's difficult. But if you make these people love the sport for later, remain this philosophy for life, it's how you inspire me, for example, this way. Because I saw the little Sabina gymnast, and also I see the businesswoman, you know, and also my mentor. I see a lot of different faces from you, and all this from gymnastics. And for this reason, I make you this question. Sabina, I want to say muito mais, piacere. For me, it's a pleasure, and I will travel very happy on the aircraft editing all this video. I want to tell you thank you for all these years together, because like a student, I learned a lot. And I'm so happy to be sharing all this knowledge, all this wisdom with the gymnastics community.
Thank you, Emilio.
No, thank you so much. And okay, guys, we close this interview in Escuela del Sur. You can hear this on YouTube. You can see our faces, and you can listen also in podcasts, in Spotify, in Apple Podcasts, and Instagram, LinkedIn. And yes, we hope to see you again, Sabina, in the future. And
then too. Sure.
Bye-bye. See ya.
And well, the episode has come to an amazing end. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to see you next time on the podcast for Coaches of the World, Escuela del Sur. Don't forget to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and check out all the episodes available on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, LinkedIn, and YouTube as Escuela del Sur. See you next time!